today's gospel, St. John proclaims that the Word has been made flesh and dwells among us. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who was coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you might know that for some years now, there has been a website called emailsanta.com. It receives about 1 million hits a year around this time of year. Mostly younger children. You can leave a list of the gifts you want, you know, and also you can leave little comments for Santa if you'd like. And, you know, these are little children, 5, 6, 7 years old. I assume they're having their parents type the messages in for them, although some of them can type the things better in than I can, you know, at that age. But anyway, as with any child, you know, many of these messages are very blunt, very direct, sometimes pretty funny. For example, here's one from Leslie, aged 5. "Dear Santa, I'm sorry we don't have a chimney. I left the cat flap open for you. But be careful of the litter box." Then you country music fans will appreciate this one. This is from Joel, age 6. "Dear Santa, is it true that your reindeer ran over my grandma last Christmas?" Here's the one I like the best. This is from Jonathan, the ripe old age of 7. "Dear Santa, I didn't know last year whether I believed in you or not. I'm sorry for all the Ex-Lax I put in your milk. My father was mad all day. And then from Melissa. Melissa's age 7, too. She writes, "Dear Santa, I hope you know that Jesus is the reason for the season. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but he is, you know. Now, you and I are here this morning because we know that. We believe that. Jesus is the reason for the season. He comes to us with the life and the love of God. We know that in just a few days, all the lights will come down, all the Christmas carols will be done, the parties are over, we're back at school or back at work. All that's behind us. What remains? Jesus. Jesus remains. He's come to us, as I said, with the light and love of God. That remains after everything else has passed. You know, sometimes it helps me to understand the importance of this day by reflecting on the question, what would it be like if Jesus had never come? What would it be like? What would my life be like, your life be like? What would the world be like if Jesus had never come? I offer you just three examples of that today. First is this. If Jesus had never come, how would you know that God loves you? Now notice I didn't say that God loves us. How would you know that God loves you personally, individually? Sometimes we feel so small, a face in a crowd. We don't count, just a number. How would we know that God really does love me, you? Now remember, as St. John said in his gospel this morning, Christ reveals to us God. Remember one time his apostles, who didn't really understand who he was until after his resurrection, said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus says to them, when you see me, you see the Father. So everything Jesus said, everything Jesus does, reveals the heart of God to us. So when he tells us the story of the lost sheep, Jesus going out, he said he'd go out and look for the one that's lost, leaving the others behind. When we see him go into the house of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who's despised by his own people because he's collaborating with the Romans. When we see him engage the Samaritan woman at the well, even though she's got a pretty checkered past. Or when we see him going up to Jerusalem one day, going through the town of Jericho, and this blind beggar on the edge of the crowd shouts out at him, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. The crowd tries to shut him up because he's a nobody. Then there are three words in the gospel that some people say are the most beautiful words of the gospel. You know what they are? And Jesus stopped. For who? Mr. No Name. Stopped for him. So if Jesus, who reveals God to us, stops for him, Mr. No Name, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, the lost sheep, doesn't that show us that he stops for you and me too? Every one of us, precious to God, loved by God. Every one of us, a unique son or daughter of God. But we wouldn't know that if Jesus hadn't come. And if Jesus hadn't come, what would we do with our sins? How would we know that if we come back to the Father, no matter how far away we've strayed, the Father will welcome us back? How would we know that if Jesus never came? We see him telling the beautiful story of the prodigal son, the son who had said to his father in his many words, I wish you were dead. I could get my inheritance. But the father welcomes him home. Think of the woman caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery. Jesus forgives her. Go and sin no more, but he forgives her. The man lowered down through the roof, my son, your sins are forgiven you. And he stretches out his arms on the cross to make all that possible. So our sins can be forgiven. We always have a new beginning with God if we come and ask. You know, back in the 1500s, there was an English author by the name of John Bunyan. He wrote probably the first book, spiritual book, outside of the Gospels, in English. It was called Pilgrim's Progress. It tells the story of this man called Christian. Any person, any man, any woman, Christian, trying to make his way through the world to heaven. There's a problem, though. He's got this big thing on his back. It's almost like a knapsack that's glued to his back. And it's full of his sins. They're so heavy, they weigh him down. All he can do is crawl on his hands and knees. He can't stand up. They're so heavy. How is he going to get to heaven? But one day he crawls up to the foot of the cross. And he looks up, and that whole thing breaks off and falls down into a sepulcher, never to be seen again. And he stands up, and he can make his way to heaven. That's what is true of our sins, which weigh us down. They can always be forgiven. But how would we know that if Jesus never came? And finally, if Jesus had never come, what would we do with death? What would we do with death? Some of us in this church this morning probably have lost someone during the past year. A parent, a spouse, a relative, a friend. They've left a huge hole in our heart. Maybe some of us here right now are facing serious medical issues. We wonder, will this be our last Christmas? What would life be like if we looked at the grave for ourselves or for others and saw that was the end, that was it, that was over, everything's over, that's it, you're done? But see, we know that's not true. St. Paul says death is the final enemy, but Christ has conquered death. In the resurrection, he shows us that there's something beyond death, that he will share life with us forever if we let him. But how would we know that if Jesus never came? You know, back in the Middle Ages again, there was an Italian poet named Dante. Dante wrote the very famous Divine Comedy. That's what he called it. And in it, he has a dream in which he's being given a tour of hell, purgatory, and heaven. And toward the end of the work, as he's approaching heaven now, he begins to hear laughter. Laughter. And the closer he gets to heaven, the louder the laughter becomes. And he turns to his guide, the one leading him, and he says, "What is that laughter?" And the guide says, "That is the laughter of the universe." Dante says, "The laughter of the universe? What is the universe laughing for? Why is the universe laughing?" And the guide says, "Because God wins. God wins. And we win in him, in Jesus, sent by God for us. We win in him." But how would we know that if he had never come? In the year 1223, St. Francis of Assisi established the first Christmas manger. It was a live manger. He had people from the village come and, you know, set up a manger, and the people played the parts and the animals were real and so forth. He did it because he wanted people to see what the first Christmas must have been like. I'd invite you today, as you look in our own manger here, mangers you probably have set up in your own homes, when you look in that and you see Christ, what do you see? What you see there is God's love for you. What you see there is God's forgiveness of your sins. And what you see there is God's promise of everlasting life. But how would we know that if Jesus had never come? But he has come. That's why today we say to one another, Merry Christmas. Merry Christ Mass.